Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's 6:05. And can we begin with the Pledge of Allegiance? I hope we get a flag soon.
Well, I think their names, their.
Did you actually pick them out?
Liberty and justice.
I want to start the meeting with any public comments. Do we have any public comments? Noting no public comments, we move on to.
Georgia, sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say that Joel offered to be the new person for public comments since Val is no longer on the board.
Wonderful.
So Joel Porter.
Do we need to make a motion for that?
I don't think so. It was just like a point person to handle.
We'll appoint Joel as the new public comment person. I want to begin by approving the minutes from the previous meeting. We've all received the minutes from Bridget.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do I have a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
And I'll second.
Good.
And any discussion? Motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
Yeah.
Given no discussion, any yays?
Yays, yay.
Oh, yeah.
Aye.
I was like, is it any nays? Yeah.
And does anyone disapprove?
Nay.
Nay. Motion is passed to approve the minutes from last business meeting. Before we move to the head of school report, I wanted to welcome our new board members. We have a lot of them on the board. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to review the, from our bylaws, what our board members do, what they're responsible for. If I may, I'm going to read a little bit. I think it's important because, again, we have so many new board members. First of all, the board members, Board of Directors, serves the children, staff, and parents of the school in accordance with the principal's bylaws, policies, and contract with the State Board of Education. Secondly, they abide by and support majority decisions of the board. Thirdly, they attend regularly the meetings. Board directors are not allowed to miss more than 2 regularly scheduled meetings in any 3-month period or 2 consecutive meetings without board approval. Attending on Zoom is fine, having said that. We follow board policies and procedures. We encourage all directors of the board to participate fully in board action. Be aware of the implications of their role and how it affects their relationships with other school community members. Board members will not discuss the confidential business of the board outside of executive sessions. We are not to use the school or any part of the school program for their own economic advantage or for the advantage of their friends or relations. Board members excuse themselves from deliberation and vote on an issue in which they have an actual or potential conflict of interest. They recognize that as one director of a larger board, each board director should only purport to speak for the board as a whole when authorized to do so. Board members must respect the opinion of others and make no unprofessional remarks in or out of board meetings about other directors of the board or members of the school community. we are not to discuss the head of school or staff performances outside of an executive session of a board meeting. We carefully, of course, read all information presented to us and ask critical questions so that we are fully informed about issues facing the board, that can carefully examine all sides of issues before making decisions. We support the head of the school's role as the school's instructional leader and operations manager. And we participate in identified training, such as governance training or in servicing as determined by the board. We also have certain duties in section 13 of our bylaws. As directors shall discharge the director's duties, including the director's duties as a member of a committee, in good faith, with ordinary care, and in a manner the director reasonably believes to be in the best interest of the school. In discharging of any duties imposed or power conferred on a director, including as a member of committee, the director may, in good faith, rely on information, opinions, reports, or statements, including financial statements and other financial data concerning the school or another person that were prepared for or presented by one or more officers or employees of the school, legal counsel, public accountants, or other persons as to matters the director reasonably believes are written the person's professional or expert competence. I want to end there and say welcome to our new board members, and I hope that it was a good reminder to all of us of our commitment to support the school and our commitment to practice decorum in these meetings that are public for all to join and be a part of. So moving on, we will start with the head of school report.
You're all doing well.
Fabulous.
Okay, so a couple in. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You kept up. I'm gonna change all of this by next month. I'm not happy with the way this works, and we're gonna do a whole new tech thing. This is not going to work anymore. It's like moving the computers here, 25 different lines. This is not going to work. Okay. So note to self. Project updates and approvals. Very, very good news. We have received a certificate of occupancy for building 27. So that's an incredible feat. It's ahead of schedule. Everything is done. Classrooms are ready. They're outfitted, ready for the first day of school. So there'll be some more work that's done in the summer operationally to make sure that everything continues to be up to par, and that we finish up some last minute things, but really good news that building is ready to roll. As we kind of move into what's going on next, it's time to start playing out professional development for the beginning of the year, which is what is finalized right now. We're completing all of our hiring processes. We're setting up all the classrooms. You'll see even over here, there's painting going on, floors being rebuffed, stuff like that. The typical things that we do to prepare for our students. So all that seems to be moving along nicely. I believe the high school is already over 90% hired for any sort of replacements that they need. Everything seems to be moving on track. We are hiring some assistant principals right now, and those interviews are in their second round. So we should have some final candidates soon and then find out who our new assistant principals will be. The student enrollment is moving in the direction that we anticipated, which is very good news as well. The maximum amount of students that we can have for next year is 2,750. The waterfall shows it at about 2,650. And our projected enrollment on conservative numbers will be somewhere around 2,550 students. The budget for reference for our board is set at 2,500 students, not 2,550. So if we hit our target or we get close to the 98.2% or higher that we typically do every year, we should be very well positioned for next year's budget. So principals are developing action plans. This is a new component for this year. Right now, in the action plans, basically, there's an action plan template that's aligned with school improvement practices. That's a part of the Better Schools initiative. And what happens is that the principals are going to be putting into place very specific KPIs, and then the KPIs will be reported back on every 4 to 5 weeks at our level, at the executive leadership level. And then quarterly, what will happen is that that board meeting that coincides with the quarter, they will present their progress on the action plan to the board directly. This is part of us making sure that we are holding ourselves accountable to our stakeholders in a very transparent manner from this point forward, and that we continue to push ourselves towards our goals moving forward. They're very detailed. I will get you the template probably in September so that you can start to review it, and then I'll put some sample data on there for you so that you'll have a sample to see exactly what that looks like, and then you'll know what to look for in it. And then if you want, I can even invite you to one of our ELT meetings when they present out to us the first time, so that when they present to you, you will have already heard something like it once, then you'll know a little bit better if you're available or something like that. So this is a new measure that we're putting in place, and it's really pushing our principals to be very data-driven in their decision-making moving forward, and try to share that leadership and responsibility a little bit more instead of it falling entirely on the executive leadership team all the time. At the building level, the K-5, each building continues to hire. Obviously, we talked about that. The dial testing is what happens during the summertime for the little ones, and the summer work is beginning. The admin team is finalizing the building layout and the PD schedule, and the admin team is attending the Harvard School of Education for Accelerating Student Learning. That is happening, I think, next week is when they're going. So remember, that was a scholarship that we received from the Harvard Club, University Club, so we're very excited for them to get that new learning and accelerate student learning, because that's what we really want anyway.
Ilya, had I asked that time, any of the teachers goes with them?
It's not teachers, this is for leaders.
Goes with the students, just curious, only says students go.
No, it's a very expensive program, and
yeah,
the scholarship is paying for their, not only their the program, but their room and board and everything.
Okay, good.
So the only thing that we have to pay for is their travel.
Okay.
Which we signed off for.
Yeah.
Very good.
So it's a very good program, and we thank the Harvard University Club of Wilmington for providing that opportunity, because it's a lot of seats that they gave us for that.
They would enjoy it.
They should.
I know.
This grade, sixth grade, will be our biggest sixth grade that we've ever welcomed to our school. The purpose of the sixth grade increasing is because we want to make sure that our raw numbers for ninth grade are always going to be achievable without having to rely on outside of our district students having to come in such high percentages. Is an enormous challenge for the school to have more than 50% of the students coming from outside the district in the high school. And so the first year becomes, the first semester of the first of that ninth grade year becomes a lot of like onboarding instead of learning going on. So in an effort to buck that trend, we are increasing the size of our sixth grade so that there would be more, even if our conversion rate doesn't change by percentage, it would change by raw number because there's so many more students.
How many more are we adding in sixth grade?
Our class should be somewhere between 280 and 300 this year. So you're looking at about 75 more students. The space is available, obviously, because we moved to the new building and there's all these extra spaces now. So it's not going to put any more burden on that. To address the Capacity, three math teachers and an art teacher have been hired. Two other teaching positions are left, and there's also, we're also adding a dean to the middle school as well. So they will have yet another admin. So it's a very well-supported movement. It's not just throwing kids in a classroom.
What is the dean goal?
Behavioral management specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. Taking that off of the AP of culture role, so the AP of culture can worry about the culture of the whole school, chronic absenteeism, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The big ticket items. High school, as I said, is almost 90%, it's 90% plus hired. AP test results are back, and proud to report that continued success from last year. 54% of all tests taken resulted in a 3 or higher. That's very, very, very good for us. With adding another 50 test takers in grades 9 and 10, making a total of 152 students who, out of a total of 257. So that's pretty, those are pretty good numbers for any school. It's really improved for us over the last several years. We can attribute that improvement specifically to alignment to the College Board standards. Like the teachers use the College Board standards and use their lesson plans. And as a result of that, the success rates have gone from 20 to 30% to 50 and 60% now. So really happy to see that result. We hope to see more. I really also would like to shout out the high school on that, because we have the most diverse high school in Delaware. And so when you're rivaling the results of other schools that have completely different learners, and I think it is something that needs to be honored because it's quite an achievement. And it's not 3 or 4 kids. You're talking about 257 test takers in a class of 400 kids. So you got 2/3 of the kids taking AP exams. Those are big numbers. That's really good progress for the high school.
Is it possible to grab these achievement scores for each of the schools in order to see before COVID, during COVID, of course, after COVID, and a progression since?
Especially in AP, you would see tremendous, because the school didn't have that many APs before we started pushing for it in 2022 and after. So it isn't just, the key is that not only is it more access, it's also better results with more access. It's similar to what we see with El Niño Mafia, where we're getting better results with more access. And that's really the key to knowing that the program is moving in the right direction. We're still crunching finishing crunching the numbers for the DESA testing, which is all the SBAC testing for this year. My preliminary kind of broad view of it is that there's spots of brilliance in this year's groups, but overall it's not the considerable improvement that we would have anticipated. There's some pretty frustrated administrators, because they felt like they did a lot, and the teachers pushed and pushed and pushed, but they didn't quite get there in some of the grade levels. I did see a marked improvement in 7th grade, which is wonderful to see, but I don't have all the data yet. I just started combing through it and really diving into it.
Is that data going to be used like during the PD week for teachers to sit down and actually like, this is where we're at, this is where we want to be?
Yes, it is going to be given to them by teacher, by department as well, and by school. So we'll look at it all lens. And then we also are desegregating the data by subgroup as well.
Okay.
So we can see what learners are seeing, what achievement gaps compared to the previous year. It's not from, and again, I didn't spend that much time on it because I just got back, but in my broad kind of quick analysis, I didn't find one or two things. It's spotted. It's like you could have in one grade one teacher have fantastic and the other one not fantastic. And then you can have, so it's not, and what that tells me typically, and again, I'll do a deeper dive and I'll have a report next month on all of it. What it tells me is that if in one class they can do it and in the other class they can't do it, that means there's inconsistency in the way the program is implemented, right? So that's one of the reasons why the action plans are going to be very important, because they're going to hold, they're going to really hold people accountable to holding certain KPIs and certain standards, and really taking notice of that. But
isn't it just the feeling or the sense that is an area that the students don't do that as expected to do or anticipated? Well, let's say it's English, math, something, science, whatever in general. Any just sense for that?
No, there isn't. I mean, what I'm, again, I haven't spent enough time on the data. I don't really like to comment until I know everything that I've dived carefully and I'm good with it. From what I can see right now, it doesn't seem like there's a connection between the way the kids are progressing over the year and the adjustment to the practice. So I don't think that, and again, I don't want to say this definitively because I haven't dived enough into it. I don't think that we're responding to the data. That's what I'm trying to say. I think that we're seeing the data happening in the mid-year, and then we're not changing the practice to align to where the data is, and then reteach those lessons in a timely manner to be able to move the needle. I think that we're using the test, we're looking at the number, and then we're just kind of putting the kids into the groups for reteach based on the overall number, and not really diving into why am I getting that number? And then what is it in this practice that I have that I need to reteach? So, and again, I'll be able to give you a thorough analysis next month, but next year's focus as a team from the administrative level is teaching our principals how to be data driven, and that going to this is very important. The Harvard Institute's going to help them on accelerating student learning, because that's what they're going to teach them how to do. But then the other piece of it is also to be able to teach how to make a proper assessment. So we have moved to Amplify, and Amplify provides assessments, but there's still a lot of ambiguity when you build an assessment, how you can build an assessment. And that's very important, because if the assessment doesn't align to the way that they're going to be tested at the end of the year, then you can have false data in a grade book that doesn't align to the way that they're going to be moving towards their actual goals. And so we've created a very stringent rubric on what our expectation is on a summative assessment moving forward. And so a summative assessment's there, like when you give a quiz, that's not what we're talking about here. But if they finish a unit and they have to take an assessment, that assessment has to be up to the standard of what a nonpartisan, well thought out, you know, norm reference test would look like, instead of whatever it is that I taught, I'm going to test them on that. And so we're building that right now, all of those assessments ahead of time. And then what's going to have to happen is that the students are going to have to be able to hit those targets before that assessment. And if they don't, then that reteach is automatically triggered, because it's already there. Like you can't go on if you don't get at least 75% of the kids passing that rigorous assessment. So you know that you've got it where it needs to be at a much more specific level. In other words, there's more barometer readings for the progress monitoring. And right now, I just don't think that we're doing enough progress monitoring.
And this happens across the board, let's say through the school.
This is across the board.
Across the board. That's what I'm asking. It's not only just the Greek section or the non-Greek, just across.
And it's not just like third to eighth grade, that's their SBAC. It's all the way through high school. Okay. We won't go below first grade, because that's not really appropriate. but we will be diving in a lot more into that. And so the you know, your coaches and your all of the people that are looking at the assessment data are specifically looking at those summative assessments now and putting more weight on those and how they're progressing in that manner. What I anticipate will happen is that if you have these highly rigorous summative assessments, at least in the first quarter, quarter and a half, your average GPA is going to plummet, because they won't be used to taking tests of that caliber that quickly. And so we have to take that into account as well, especially when we're trying to do our reinforcement groups when we put them into these support groups, because you're going to have like 60% of the class in the support group. And that's not necessarily the case. It's just that they have to be able to adjust to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Until you get them up to where they need to be.
So we'll have student achievement report at the next board meeting, along with the reasons why and actions to.
And the action plans and everything. You'll see the templates for how this is going to look. We'll show you the template on how summative assessments are going to be assessed beforehand to make sure that they are up to the par moving forward, so that we can make sure the students are ready for their testing well ahead of time.
It would be interesting just to see the students who spend, let's say, the elementary school here and everything, how they have advanced.
We do set, we do.
Because then you know what.
Generally, that the case is, and I can tell you that, yeah. it's obviously always considerably higher for the kids that stay with us versus the ones that don't. But I do have to put a caveat to that, because whenever, you know, we're a school that accepts students at all levels, no matter what. And so you have that.
Understand that.
That piece to it. So you can't. The SBAC can't be the only indicator of success for the school. Mm-hmm. Because if you have kids that are at level one, but they started three levels below, and then you got them to one level below, they've achieved 200% improvement, and they're still going to show non-proficient. And so you can't, so we have to be careful when we're making conclusions about these things and about the performance of the teacher, or the performance of the administrator, or the school as a whole, based on that as well. So I try to be very sensitive to that. So there's a little bit of meta analysis that has to happen too for that, in order for me to give you a better picture.
That's fine.
But I don't know if I'll get to that level of meta analysis in the next meeting, but I will have like all the broad data and everything, and the action plan and all that stuff. Curriculum, the team is preparing a transition to the Amplify third edition part. The planning includes updating instructional materials and stuff like that. This is typical of us. We're also going to be starting a pilot program for a new math program, which is the Desmos Amplify Math. This is very, very much aligned to SBAC and SAT success. So we have high hopes for it, but I will tell you, with all transparency, that I have never seen a curriculum that teaches kids. I see teachers that teach kids. Teachers teach kids, not curriculums. So the curriculum can do this much for you. The rest of it is in the consistency, the professional development, and how the delivery looks, much more so than, you know, a curriculum. The curriculum is great, but you have to deliver it.
Usually the teacher goes with the average of the class.
Yeah.
You want to bring that without trying to lower the
right.
It's something the teacher just has to do, and sometimes not easy.
Well, it's not easy.
Yeah, sometimes it's not easy.
Their job is very, very difficult these days. It's an unenviable position to be in, with a lot of pressure. In terms of mental health and community partners, Yitzis, I hope Yitzis to Georgia. I hope she's better. We're meeting with the University of Delaware to establish new MTSS implementation partnerships to strengthen our school-wide intervention system. We increased the family communication through our RISE information sessions and collaborative feedback opportunities. And we are planning an expanded family engagement program for next year, which includes a lot of parent education on campus. So we're really shifting to having more alignment between like what our philosophy of education is and what our philosophy of overall human being development is, and then teaching parents what that looks like and exposing them to it, so that can transfer over at home. Mm-hmm. We still feel like there's a disconnect between maybe what happens at home and then what happens at school, what expectations look like, and then what is the model of education call for versus what we're seeing. There's a lot of research to back up what we're doing in this area specifically, so I'm excited about it. As you know, we're looking at some new systems as well for the way that we deliver our instruction. You may hear from me soon about having You've probably seen this on the news too, about regulating the amount of actual computer time.
Yes.
Based on developmental level. And having almost none in the K-2. Yeah. Even though you're going to get a lot of backlash from a lot of people are going to tell you they're going to get into third grade, which is a testing year, and then they're not going to know how to use a computer, and then their SBAC scores are going to go down. But we have to think about, in the years that we did have this tool, have we seen an improvement in communication skills? Have we seen an improvement in social emotional development? So we've been using the technology for all these years, and it has not led to the projected outcome. Mm-hmm. So at what point do you say that that is not the right outcome, right? And so there will be pushback from some, but I think we're going to, I'm just hinting towards something where we're probably going to be very limited in 0 to 2 in our computers, and then 30 minutes max through sixth grade, and then 60 minutes max as you go up from there.
That's a good approach. I
love it.
They should not rely on.
It's a good approach for us. We're going to hear a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who disagree with me in the education world.
Rely on the software or somebody else.
But I feel like the computers saw also something that they can do at home, and the networking and all that stuff. They already know how to do those things, and they're born into it. So I feel like at school, we should just be doing the school thing and writing and reading and interacting with people. Mm-hmm. But I do understand the feedback about like them not being ready to take a technology-based test as a result of not spending enough time in that. In order to combat that, just so you know, we are adding technology classes in. So where the SEL classes used to be, they're now technology classes. So it's deliberate now. We'll teach you the technology that you need for the test. And that's it. And then the rest of the time, you'll be reading and writing and doing all the things you're supposed to be doing.
I think that's a strong decision.
Hopefully, it'll pan out. All of these things in unison should lead to the outcomes that we're looking for that we're not seeing in the 3 to 8 right now. Transportation's interviewing. I saw them today. They were interviewing some more people for some more drivers and to make sure that we're staffed for the new year. We're almost fully staffed over there too, so that's not of any major concern. The Spec Ed program begins on tomorrow. No, it began yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the program started yesterday. And so there's 50 students participating in that program. And then we also have our camp going on right now too. So there's kids in camp. I don't know how many kids are in camp. Debbie, do you know how many are in camp?
Just about 50 to 60.
Yeah, 50 to 60 kids in camp as well. So that's nice. Keeping the campus active over here. They're working with the Spec Ed coach right now for the August Paraprofessional Institute PD. That's another area of focus, is to make sure that the paraprofessionals are being used in the capacity that they can be, and that they're actually supporting the progress of the students. Fundamentally, that's going to be an area where we're trying to shift as well, is how we use our paraprofessionals. I could talk about that more at another time. I'm going to propose something at the end for the good of the school, and then I can talk about that a little bit at that point. IT purchased 1,000 new Chromebooks, which is the exact opposite of what I just told you. But that's because we just don't have enough to do the testing. Like what we're doing is we're using a rotating schedule to get through the testing, and it's causing too much trouble. Because some computers are coming back and they're not charged, or they're broken, or this or that. And then the next group is waiting for it. And then there's 10 more computers missing. Then you have to pull from this other put. So it's just become this big problem.
Is it budgeted for?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's good. They're installing the projectors, the TVs in the immersion school, all that stuff that's going on right now. They're rolling out the Red River time tracking system to all buildings as well. That is a new time tracking system that's going to allow us to, is it by the minute or by the 8 minute? I don't even know.
I think it's by the minute.
It's by the minute. So the clock in and clock out is by the minute, which will allow us to save money as an organization, significant money, because you're clocking in and out, you're not rounding anymore. If you can believe it, the school has relied for how many years on paper and pencil for that? Since I've been here and before, everything has been paper and pencil timesheets. So we're moving to Red Rover. We anticipate quite an improvement in timekeeping as a result of that, to say the least. lot of rounding up and rounding down. So construction is now underway for the new main office and the administrative office and conference room in building 20. And that should be done relatively soon, in addition to a closet for the high school band. There's touch-up painting going on right now, so that's happening right now in all of the buildings to clean everything up. And so that should be ready soon. The food service is doing the summer camp and the ESY program that just launched, so they're working on that as well, and Evie's got that going on. From a fundraising perspective, July 18th is the gym and used uniform sale day from 12 to 5. The PTO store in building 20. The 22nd, there's a pop-up uniform with Kramer's. August 11th, we have our second annual resource fair. That's a very big deal. If you ever want to attend something, that's pretty cool. It's done down here. And August this is
11th.
Yeah. It supports our families. It uses the food pantry. They can get backpacks. They get, it's incredible. It's incredible how many families are supported by that. All staff return on the 19th, and our back to school bash, which is a lot of fun, is on August 20th from 5 to 7. Our first days of schools are the 26th and the 27th. Remember, that's because you have rotating schedules, half the kids one day, half the kids the other day. So if you want to be here on one of the first days of school, mark your calendars for one of those days. They're really cute, cute days. The new website is launched, as you saw. We're pretty happy with it. It's significantly better than our albatross of a website that we used to have. So we're pretty happy about that. We have grants coming in right now. We'll have more information probably next month on how these pan out and where we landed on some of these grants that are coming in right now. And I told you, I already gave you the enrollment update on where we stand. Things are looking good in that sense as well. Fall sports begin on the 17th of August. And obviously, we're seeing continued growth over there as well. Our teams had their best season ever last season, right? We had teams that got all the way to the state semifinals last year. That's unprecedented for us. From safety and security, we're hiring a constable, a new constable. And we are looking at the potential of having lock blocks on all the doors.
Sorry, Rick, before mm-hmm. the safety and security on the fundraising and grants. I had someone call from Barclays Bank, and I don't know if they've contacted the school yet, but they are said they're available for sponsorship or.
Do they give you any information on who call?
I can get that
all right.
to you, but I asked to understand the parameters. Is it a small project sponsorship or is it major?
Right.
No, you're okay.
Do an event or are you more interested in doing, you know, building an auditorium that the school needs right. and doesn't have?
Sure.
Yeah. So I wanted to understand the scope before I brought it to you in more detail.
Okay. I also took a video of something that I'll show it to you guys next time because I don't even know where that video is now. I took a video of the proposed outdoor amphitheater. Mm-hmm. For behind 27, so you guys can see what the vision is. It's basically concrete going like that and amphitheater circle with a centerpiece that I saw at another school. And so that was kind of the vision for it. I think it would cost somewhere between 250 and 300,000. So I will talk to you all about that once we get
this through. This is on the very back of the new
school. Yeah.
Do we have an update on the playground situation happening back there?
That would be Evan would know that. I don't know that. Okay. I haven't met with Evan since I got back yet.
Okay.
But I know that they picked it. It was finalized.
They're both parks are happening.
That's what I got in my last email update.
Okay.
I didn't hear anything different. I saw the renderings, and then that's as far as I know that we got. So, do you know anything more about that? Yeah, I don't.
Are any of the grants focused on? Capital improvements
of these new ones?
Yes.
No, these are not capital improvement grants. We have to start a whole new cycle for those now.
Okay.
But we don't have any major projects scheduled for next year.
Okay.
Which we kind of need a year off.
Yes.
And the purpose of the amphitheater will be to what is going to be the purpose of this?
It's the art part of our mission is not in place right now. That's and the fine. Blue Box Theater only seats 150.
Yes.
It is not a theater, per se.
Just make sure that it's for, mainly for ours.
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate for plays, concerts?
Yes.
Yeah.
It would be appropriate, but it would, it's outdoor.
As it's outdoors, my question.
Yeah.
Like an awning or something where you.
There is, and we have a couple renderings of that too.
Okay.
It still would be semi, it wouldn't be totally weatherproof, even with an awning, but.
Apologies for a naive question, obviously I'm new to the board. I know I got added to an online portal and I've set that up from Gina or whatever, but are documentation such as that readily available to the board to see if I want to look at?
Of what?
Or do I need to, for example, a proposal for an amphitheater or for a construction idea or things like that? Are they typically requested and then emailed out to the board?
They're usually emailed out to the board, and then there's also a committee that's formed for this that the board participates in as well. And any of these projects that exceed $49,999 has to go through the board anyway.
Okay. No, I'm just curious as far as the accessibility to documentations.
But if you want any of the previous ones, you, we can send you all of that stuff if you want to.
That would be great, yeah.
Because the school has transformed tremendously in the last 2.5 years.
I'd try like 15 for me, when I used to buy.
Yeah, what would be the capacity of this amphitheater?
Yes, it's a few hundred, like 400 or so, yeah.
Also, yeah.
It's a nice size, it's a nice size piece from the one that I have. But it would cost, I think it's somewhere between $250,000 and $300,000. We can't, I can't even propose to pull the trigger right now on that. We have to kind of look at everything and make sure that everything lands where we want it to land and that our enrollment's where it needs to be. And then maybe in October or so, I can hopefully have that conversation. But I personally need a year where I don't have to build any more buildings and any more fields and have another $10 million floating around. You know, it's a lot of pressure to keep your regular budget and to have that with the expenses and the costs changing every day, and it's just a lot. It's a lot to keep track of. And meet your covenants consistently, you know, it's just, it's a lot. So I'd rather not have any big buildings for a while. Give us a year to breathe. I don't have any out of state travel that's been presented for this month, so I think we're all going to be in state for a while.
I wanted to propose something for out of state travel to make our job a little bit more specific as a board, which is governance. There is a line item for travel, and we do approve a budget for the year for travel for in-state and out of state, and that's very important. And I think it's important to see how the budget is, you know, when we approve these. And I'm wondering if when we approve the budget for the new year, we approve that one line for all travel out of state and in state, prioritizing, of course, field trips for the students.
Right.
And secondly, professional development for the teachers, and then and everything else. Okay, and this way, when we approve that, we shouldn't have to approve it trip by trip by trip by trip by trip at every board meeting, but we are meeting our promise to the state of Delaware that we will have a, you know, have a close eye on all travel and look at that and how it performs vis-a-vis the budget. Is there any objection to doing it this way?
No objection, just a clarifying question. Are you proposing basically we set a cap or like a threshold, like a budget item where they have $5,000 to work with? Or are you proposing that we?
The budget that we approve in the beginning of the year is a budget. So it is in effect a cap.
That's it, yeah.
Of course, if there is something over the budget or unexpected, that is when it's important to come to the board for approval because we are, you know, over budget or this wasn't estimated. Certainly by looking at, you know, prior year travel and all those categories, we have a good estimate of what that would be.
Is there any legal requirement that it has to be trip by trip?
That's what I was going to say.
My only question is I thought there was an understanding, depending on the state, You have to green light that out of state to whatever the location is.
That was a term of our probation. It went away when our probation.
But does it, my follow-up question is, because we were advised that it should be documented. So like, it's documented that we've approved these things in the minutes. So if we were to do it, you know, here's your budget, but things come up, field trips aren't planned all in August or in September. We're planned throughout the school year.
Right, but if we approve that at a documented board meeting, you know, for the entire year, then we have approved, you know, the budget, for field trips in state, out of state, the budget for teacher professional development travel, you know, in state, out of state. And, you know, what, I mean, we approve a detailed travel budget. I'm just wondering whether that meets our, it's a question, whether that meets our requirements, you know, rather than going through.
I'm not sure, but we could look in, I'm happy to look.
10 or 12 field trips at each meeting.
We could.
Please correct me, but you have, when I was looking at the financial, there is something about traveling and number. I remember the last one is the Plan E is the less than Plan D and so forth. So there is a budget for traveling. So far, that's my memory. Okay, I just saw before I left home.
It's like $37,000 or something.
It's very like, yeah, there is something.
It's a $1 million budget.
It's not a great amount overall, so it shouldn't demand so much of our attention at each meeting. I'm just saying, and this is, but we want to meet anything that we are required to meet, of course, by the state of Delaware. I'm just wondering if that doesn't meet their requirements, like for next board meeting, we approve the expected travel for the school year. And then, of course, if there's anything over and beyond that, you know, if we see something in the budget, for example, monthly, we hear the budget, any red flags, then we're good. Just wondering whether that might streamline the process.
Sure. The idea is that there's a trip, should they come to us and they don't, they go to the school, to Ilias or anybody else and say, I'm going for a trip, we should not know?
That would be Elias's job to.
So it's going to be there. Somebody's have to approve it.
Each individual field trip.
Right. I mean, we already do that anyway, and we charge the kids and recover most of the money. So we usually don't go out of pocket more than 30% or so on any one of those trips anyway.
I'm not suggesting that you do. I'm just trying to streamline.
I think your suggestion is good. I think we just need to make sure we have our legal side covered, right? As long as it's fine with the legality of it, I don't have an issue per se of making it a blanket statement for the year personally. But I would like to confirm that that is the legal case.
Sure.
Yes. Also, I'm happy to look into that. But I think the other thing you could always cover your backs with that is by you offer up free rein, but we expect the report. Like, so an email or a correspondence that at least keeps us notified.
Right.
I think that's more than reasonable compromise, right? So we make the motion next meeting. Basically, administration has the green light to book and do whatever within the budget, but we expect a prompt email, of course, but some kind of documentation of it.
Right. Every month we do get a financial report with each, you know, itemized by each area of expenditure. So it.
You'll be able to see it.
Yeah, you'll be able to see
it. And that makes sense to me.
Yeah. Okay. So we just double check the legality if it's okay to do that. Elias, who do we double check that with?
I would take that to Jim Taylor.
Okay. That's easy to do.
I believe he already looked at this for us a while ago. And I think when Ken was president, it was green lighted. It just was, there was not agreement on the board on how to go about this. So we just kind of said, well, we'll just stick to what we were doing before.
Okay. I'd love to hear if anyone on the board does disagree. It doesn't have to be right now, but I'd like to hear the, you know, the other aspects or sides.
As long as we receive something, they say these people traveled, and that's what the expenses within whatever it is, so we know where we stand. That's all. But I think.
Do we have a Greek report today?
Yolanda is on.
Yeah, Yolanda's on.
We do, Kalispera.
Kalispera.
Where are you now?
She's here.
She there?
I'm here, yes.
Okay.
She's here, but she's not.
I thought she stayed over there.
I am in Delagurio, we have the same time. And so today I would like to give you a report mostly from the trip that I had in Greece and the connections that we had this summer, end of June and July, mid of June actually, and end of June and July. Because there were many very important things that happened during these 2 weeks. So I represented Odyssey in a series of strategic meetings with universities, with government officials, educational organizations, and institutional partners. And the aim, of course, always was to strengthen the international collaborations that we have and advance the Hellenic education overall in the United States. A major outcome of this visit was the signing of the memorandum of understanding with the University of Western Macedonia. Actually, today we received the signed document, the MOU from the university, and they are waiting for our signatures. Establishing the framework for collaboration in Greek language education, teacher preparation and pipeline, research, professional development, and Hellenic paideia. In addition, with Ilias, also with Mr. Pappas, we had meetings with representatives of the National and Kapodistrian University of Athens, exploring future partnerships in teacher certification, curriculum development, research and academic exchange. And we anticipate an MOU with the University of Athens in the fall of 2026, so in the next few months. That was one part of the trip, so collaborations with universities and these MOUs. The other part of the trip, I served as the US coordinator for the official 3-day educational visit with all the Greek American charter schools. We are 6 in total. That visit was organized by the Secretary General for Greeks Abroad and Public Diplomacy, Ms. Myra Mirogiani, and brought together, as I told you, representatives from the Greek American charter schools. In this role, I coordinated the delegation and its activities while facilitating communication between the participating schools and Greek institutions. If I could say the highlight of the whole 3-day visit was a visit to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and the meeting with the minister, Mr. Gerapetritis, where we discussed strategies for strengthening Hellenic education in the United States through partnerships that leverage the experience and success of Greek American charter schools. We're going actually to submit a pilot program as a fruit of the collaboration between the charter schools, a pilot program for the Greek Ministry of Foreign Affairs. We were also invited to the Hellenic Parliament. That's the second time. The first time we were invited 2 years ago in the first visit that we had there. So this year was the second year and we had the opportunity to also present the programs. I actually presented the whole Greek American charter community, but also we advanced the discussion that we started 2 years ago. And also we gave them updates in our programs and we discussed challenges in our programs and solutions. Additional meetings included discussions with the Stavros Niarchos Foundation, focusing on future collaborative educational initiative, and also with the Center for the Greek Language as part of the University of Athens, where conversations centered on curriculum development, teacher professional development, research, and support for Greek language education abroad. The visit was very festive, so we were invited by the American Embassy in Athens to participate in the the reception for the 250 years anniversary of the American independence. It was an event at the Stavros Niarchos Foundation. And it was really nice. Although I didn't go, I had some family issues and I didn't go to the reception, but I know that everybody had a great time. So overall, the visit reinforced Odyssey's leadership in Hellenic education in the United States, expanded its international network of strategic partners, and created new opportunities for us for collaborations with universities and organizations and the Greek state that will benefit our students, educators, and the broader Greek American educational community and the Greek American charter community.
Just a question, Ioana, can you hear me? Sorry.
Yes, yes.
Are there any, is there any funding that your meetings might lead to for charter school and our students? Any funding, any benefits that are, you know, will the kids be able to be accepted to one of these universities, you know, or is it just to get information from them on the Greek language and teaching or being a source for more Greek language teachers for Odyssey? I'm just wondering, what are some of the other more tangible benefits for our students today?
Yes, there will be several benefits for our students and teachers. So we had a discussion with the Greek Ministry of Education also, and we discussed that we want more teachers from the ministry. And actually this year we're getting one more than what we usually have from the ministry. So we have this, and we might have one more before the end of August. We'll see, I'm not sure about that. And as for our students, you know, the Greek state doesn't give funding in the form of funding, but they offer several programs. So we're discussing for summer programs for our students, secondary mainly, middle school and high school, for summer programs at the universities or different schools, because we met also with schools there, the American College of Athens, Pierce. We had a meeting with them. And we are discussing about this type of money coming to the school, having our students participating in summer programs funded by the Greek ministry, by the Greek state. Also, we discussed about books and materials for our school. There is not something concrete right now for that, because that's a big area of concern for all charter schools. But we are looking to see support and collaboration from the University of Athens. And that supports our students indirectly, but in a very very important way. Also, we had, I forgot about that. We discussed also with the Study in Greece committee and Mr. Michalakelis, who is the head of this committee representing almost all Greek universities, and how we can really create a pipeline for our students going to Greece to study there. So he visited our school, I think it was in March, something like that. And he was really, really impressed. He's using actually material that he had from us, promoting our school also to his visits to other countries. And we discussed very specifically ways to reinforce that for our students, how to not only to show them the opportunities that they have in Greece, but to make it more relevant to them. So we discussed with Mr. Michalakelis to start a program, a summer program, a short one, probably a week or 10 days for our high schoolers, whoever wants to do that, to participate in a program that is going to be in a university in Greece. And for this week or 10 days to experience how is it to live in Greece and study in this university. So to open for them, you know, more widely the door to really go to Greek universities for their studies.
So, Joanna, when you say, oh, sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
Just a moment.
When you say that summer program in Greece or here, I mean, that's going to be online, live, whatever it is, because somebody has to support the students traveling Greece if supposed to be there.
The programs that we discussed are going to be in Greece. So somebody, yes, okay. Have mm-hmm. with them from us, but they will have also a team. The main team will be in Greece by professors and teachers from the Greek schools or universities.
Okay, and the other thing, this is iconoclastic idea, because things sometimes in Greece go with the Secretary of Education, Europedias. I don't know just if we can something be mainly through the universities and with some support from the Ministry of Education. So somebody, they need support over there. Okay. And sometimes when the minister changes, then the ideas change. That's another issue, just a thing. I don't say it's going to happen, but I don't know.
You're right, Costa, but we also, we are in contact with officials who are,
okay.
You know, they stay in their positions regardless of the government,
okay,
and the administration. So we have a good connection actually with some people at this rank.
Good.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Just something last that I forgot to tell you. I invited almost everybody, all the officials that we met, to our grand opening in September. And there is a vivid interest from many people to come to visit us for the grand opening in September 9th. So I will have more updates in our next
okay.
meeting.
Okay. Sounds good.
I think that we will have a lot of people from, or a lot, I don't know, some people from Greece.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, Anna, I don't want to hold up the meeting too much more, but can I ask a quick follow-up question, please?
Sure.
I'm familiar with a couple of the other Greek charter schools. I know that the Archimedean Academy and a couple in Florida are kind of what we had based this one off of, but you mentioned there's like six of them in total. Do those schools also have MOUs or memorandums of understanding with other universities? If so, can we, you know, utilize similar like resources? How do we compare to the other Greek American charter schools in the United States, given that you were there with them? And are there other universities that other people have connections with that we don't, or vice versa? Are we ahead of the game on this or behind the game on this, is my question.
So I don't want I don't want you to think that I'm very ambitious, but I can tell you that we are really the head of this team of charter schools. That's why Odyssey was the organizer. We were in the organization of this trip. Everything happened through the connections that we had with the Greek administration. And I was the one who organized all the charter schools. I invited them, we came together, and we went to Greece. So we are way ahead of the game.
Fantastic. I'd love to hear that.
Thanks. Ioana, if I'm not mistaken, let's say the school, the Academy of Latin in Florida, is not a charter school exactly.
It is
that's
a charter, the Plato Academy. It is a charter.
It's an academy. It's a different story. So I understand what Yanni say, but it's not a school. The only charter school like this is only here. The other is an academy. We have academy here, academy there, which is great. I'm just don't say they shouldn't be existing. But it's a different.
It's different. Very different. The collaboration that this school is doing right now is to try to create a sustainable model for Greek language education in Paideia in the United States, with very specific collaborations with the Greek ministry.
Yeah.
They're very advanced collaborations. The ministers over there know Ioana and I by first name, emails all the time. We met them again in May. We have MOUs in place with them. These are big programs. There's more programs. There's a 10th to 12th grade exchange program that we're looking at as well, where we can send our students over there and they can send students over here as well. everything is developing quickly and with a lot of trust between the two organizations. So we're pretty excited about it. I have to say personally, I'm a little bit worried with the elections coming up in Greece, because I don't want some of our synergy to be lost with change in ministers. And I did hear on my last day in Greece that it's this Minister of Education may not be around very much longer. But let's hope.
No, that's okay. I was just curious. I'm glad to hear that we are ahead of the curve and that you're leading us. Thank you.
I have seen a lot of positive press and a lot of positive articles and a lot of positive information about Odyssey Charter School in Greece at all these different meetings. It has come out. I've seen a lot of that. I hope that it's funneled towards fundraising at the same time, as all these wonderful, cool programs for the kids. I think it's important that we also leverage all these trips and that positive press and use it for big fundraising. There's a lot of ability for organizations and people in Greece to fundraise, give larger donations to the school. And I don't want that to be overlooked. I think it's important.
Well, of course, it's important, Georgia. That's one of the aims. And we work together with Ilias and Jackie on that. And hopefully we will see results, in big amounts of money. To be honest, this is not the only goal, because we want also, we have very specific educational goals, and they are related also to teachers and teachers' pipeline. And right now we are building a very solid pipeline with teachers from Greece, from the universities that we work closely together. And also we are trying to create as much as we can an authentic environment for our students who learn Greek, because right now, as you all know, our students are not of Greek descent, so they don't have Greek at home, they don't hear Greek besides Odyssey. We try to create an environment with them where they see that there is a purpose. They can see the why they learn Greek. So when we bring them in contact with Greek schools from Athens, from Kastellorizo, that's one of the proposals that we have, to become brother schools with schools in Kastellorizo, in Alexandroupoli, we give our students an extra motivation, an authentic motivation to learn Greek or to go to Greece, all this stuff. So we work on many different levels. Money, of course, we need money, but there are also other components who will, I think, are of equal importance as the big funds that we are looking also for.
I think they all work synergistically. You get more positive press, you get more MOUs, you get more funding, you get more attention, and all kind of synergistically seems to work that way. So I have a very positive outlook on all of those things. And the upcoming MOU that's coming from the University of Athens Kapodistrian, that's one of the most prestigious universities around. That is a very highly prestigious university, and having an MOU with them is a big deal. And it's coming. So we're excited.
Great.
Okay. That concludes our Greek report. We have no out-of-state travel.
We do have one, I'm sorry. They said that it got added on while we were talking. It's at the end of August, so it could have gone on the next board meeting, but I don't want to keep the high school stressed out. Every year, the high school goes to Camp Saginaw. That is to build camaraderie before the beginning of the school year. This is particularly important for the ninth grade, especially as we said that more than half the kids are coming from outside the district. We'd like to see, we'd like the kids to have opportunities to see similarities in each other instead of their differences. And so they go to camp every year together and do a bunch of really nice team building activities. The freshmen will go from the 26th and the 28th, and then there will be a senior retreat on the 28th as well. So we ask that the board approve that before we move.
How are we doing on the travel budget?
We didn't, I mean, that's,
year.
That would
can,
be.
Can we save that and hear the financial report first? Have a look at that Sorry, I just think that it's important that we refocus on our role of governance, and part of that is making sure that we understand the budget lines, and the, you know, are we okay in that line item, or are we already over budget, or do we have enough for the rest of the year? I don't mean to pick at it, but I think it's important that we, you know, start doing this.
Yeah, this is a program that we've been running for the last 3 years, and it's primarily paid for by the kids. It's not, like I said, none of our field trips really go over. It would be the beginning of the year budget, so you're looking at a spending, I don't know, a couple thousand dollars maybe out of your 37,000. No, your student activities budget.
And that actually isn't going to hit that budget because we're buying airline tickets or.
Right, no, so you're coming at student activities, and that's a $280,000 budget line.
Also pay for that, so they pay a fee in order to go, so that money is recouped, and these are internal transportation fund budgets.
So, sorry to interject. I don't think, no need to get defensive. I think all George is saying is we want to maybe go buy it after hearing financial. I think I totally understand, and I have no problem approving or motioning now if you want to, but I'm also fine with tabling it till after. All she's saying is for the future actions of the board, I think the goal is we'll hear finance, we'll approve, and we'll give you the green light to do whatever you want with it for the rest of the time. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, yes, and also to know the cost of that, you know, that's why I prefer to approve them from the beginning and then only look at what has to be, what is above and beyond the budget that was already approved. This is kind of what happens at every meeting, but we don't understand we don't know the cost, we don't know where the budget's at for travel or anything. And it just seems to me that, again, we have to refocus on our role in governments and fiscal responsibility. We need to do more of that.
Yeah, I mean, you said you're going to check with Jim Taylor, right?
Yes.
Moving forward, but for now, it should be motioned and documented until we have a response on that.
Okay.
I move to approve it. If you want to wait, if you want to do it in the same manner for this meeting, is what you're saying? The recommendation?
Well, I recommend we wait and hear the financial report first, and then okay. Motion based on what we see.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Deborah, would you mind just coming closer? Hello. Hello.
Okay. All right, so we are going to close out FY26 and propose our FY27 budget. So for FY26, our June revenues were $510,000, and our total expenditures were $3,594,000. For revenues, how they came in was $336,000 for food service, $106,000 for catering, $3,380 for athletics. We had a $50 rental at the Grill that we received. Transportation funding, this is charter work that they do, was $57,893. ABC is our rental at St. Thomas. We received the rental check for $16,800. Summer camp and Owls Club, we received $5,082. Fundraising received $6,960. School activities was $81,900, and technology was $1,386. A lot of the technology was fees for seniors because they had to pay all of their graduation, all their fees in order to get their tickets. So all that money was received. To show our FY26 revenues, I compared it to FY25 so that we can see how we did to the previous year. In FY26, We received a total of 56,000 or 56,673,829, which was an increase from FY25 of 55,893. It was about a $510,000 increase. So I am proposing to change the layout, and I'll get to that, but I want to change our web report to kind of roll up our expenditures a little bit more clearly so that it's more clear and we're breaking out our professional services, the materials, and the capital separately. Within each of those, professional service, materials, and capital, we'll have like subcategories that will articulate exactly how that money was spent. But for FY26, we had just under $25,000 for salaries, or $25 million, I'm sorry, I keep saying thousand. $13 million for other employment costs. Travel was at $96,000. Professional services was $9,543,000. $2.4 million for materials and about 5.6 for capital. The expenditures did increase from FY25. It was a difference of about $3,876,000, or 107%. So as I said, we are going to change the look a little bit of how we show those things. So I wanted to have a good comparison from FY25 to 26 so that we can show apples to apples of how much we actually spent from 25 to 26 with this kind of new structure of organizing those expenditures. So this just kind of shows how each individual category has adjusted from year to year.
Can I, again, be a devil's advocate sort of here? We received this by email, you know, half an hour before the board meeting as a board today. We got it around after 5 and before 5:15. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really give us a lot of time to mull the numbers and coordinate our, you know, not coordinate, but, you know, ask the questions that we want. Sitting here looking at the sheet, you know, it's telling us a lot, but we haven't really had the time to focus on it. And I know, Deborah, that you receive the numbers you need from the state often during each month late. It could be that you might get them on the 12th and we have a meeting on the 15th, like this month. So it doesn't give you a lot of time either to put the reports together and double check and triple check.
Yes.
And this happens in many months where we've been sent the financials at best a day before and at worst 15 minutes before the board, we have to leave for the board meeting. Because the numbers you need come so late, I wanna suggest shifting our board meeting to the fourth week of every month so that we have the time instead of the third week of every month, so that we have the time to get the financials at least a week earlier, at least 5 days earlier, and be able to look them over and do our calculations and ask any questions that we need. How do other board members feel about being able to see and study the financials a few days more?
It's fine with me. 4 weeks is fine.
Yeah, I mean, more time is obviously great. Would that be beneficial to you? Like, do you get things right before?
It's a matter of timing based off of, yeah. I mean, the question is that because
would
of
it help?
The limiting factor?
Yeah, so the state releases the documents and the reports that I need to do my part, and it's usually like third Monday of the month.
I see.
And so depending on how the days fall, like I could be getting it Monday and then we're meeting on Wednesday.
Yeah,
so
that's pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know. Obviously, it's my first meeting, so I assumed this was just a fluke. But obviously, I need significantly more time than a day. I, yeah, I would, I'm also not opposed to pushing it, or you move the meeting up, but then, like, it's the second Wednesday every month, but then we have 2 weeks to look at it from the previous.
Then we'd be seeing the month before.
Yeah, I mean.
But if we move it to the fourth week.
Whatever's easy, I'm saying whatever's easier, but I 100% agree, we cannot have a situation, if that's what it's been, we have to change that going forward.
As I say, fourth week is fine.
Could I have a motion to move our board meetings to the fourth week of every month to facilitate receiving?
Keeping it on Wednesdays, though, correct?
Yeah, to facilitate receiving and studying the financials.
I make a motion?
Well, that's something I was thinking of in my head, if you want to make the suggestion, but the negative is there's.
Negative, just attendance as well around holidays, like that.
End of months typically are holiday, but if we do it on a, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, things like Thanksgiving or things like that are Christmas, usually they're often long weekends that get close to that, but.
We would do the calendar in advance and then adjust, I think, for holidays. So we would do the calendar for the whole school year, and then we can make adjustments or skip a holiday week and things like that. If that's okay. Are there any objections? Sorry, Costas motioned.
Yeah, I made the motion, yeah.
Redo the calendar to have an opportunity to see the, and study the financials at least 5 days in advance.
I think that's critical. I second the motion.
I just want to make sure we're not forgetting anything else that might happen with scheduling. Like, is there anything like admin-wise or like school-wise that would mean it wouldn't be beneficial for people to be a week later?
I'm trying to.
Like, we've had it the third for so long.
I'm trying to process in my head, because yeah, you build so much of your processes around that.
Yeah.
Knowing the board meetings at that time. So it's hard, I can't remember everything.
We could look into it and then reconvene, you know. We could also do this over email. We could.
We can't do that over email. We need to have a motion.
No, I mean to find out the scheduling, and then next meeting we could approve it, is what I'm saying. We can do the research to find out if it's okay with everything that's built.
I feel like it's worth asking more than.
Just to make sure.
Yeah, just, yeah.
I think that's reasonable.
Let me see if my admins are texting me, because they usually start texting me when they.
Feedback.
Feedback immediately.
Like, please, God, do not let them move it to the fourth one. Is that what you're going to get the text message from?
I'm getting no thank you.
No thank you.
Don't move it. I'm gonna have to look at and figure out what the, I can't, I don't know.
Do you mind?
I personally don't have a problem with it, but I don't know what everybody's.
Okay, well, how about we vote on it next board meeting, but keep in mind that we need to see those financials at least a week in advance, or at least 5 days in advance. Okay? That's the goal, you know.
Yeah.
For the board to be able to.
Completely agree. Yeah, completely agree.
So we agree to table it. We agree to table it and come back to it at our next meeting.
We'll vote on it next meeting, but we're gonna do our research, or you guys will tell us your research as to the negatives of moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what I know is that in the districts that are in the public school, is it's what you said. So it lags 2 weeks behind. So you get last week, last.
That's what I kind of assumed that would be.
It usually goes into the second week, and then it lags, basically the financials lag 2 weeks behind, which is.
So it would be like not approving these financials today, but approving them at the beginning of next month.
The second Wednesday, yeah.
Or the first Wednesday of the.
That was kind of what I thought made sense, but I, again.
Well, either.
Yeah, I'm down with whatever is easier for everybody.
Okay. Again, the goal is to be able to study.
And naturally, that flows better, because you have to wait for the financials to come in. You have to wait for the monies to come in. You have to close out the month. And so it's really odd to have it in the middle of the month like that. The state obviously has to do their final, their finals for the end of their month. It takes them about a week and a half to do that. So if you did it that way, yeah, you'd be 2 weeks behind, but I mean, that's precedent. It's usually a month behind, to be honest with you. So you can do it that way, and then that wouldn't impact very much of anything, I think, and it wouldn't impact holidays or anything like that.
Whatever the group consensus is, if you could give us some feedback next meeting, we'll vote.
Okay, sounds good. So I'll expect feedback before the next board.
Something from the audience.
Some of the other school districts have their meetings on like the third Monday, so who knows what they're looking at, so.
They're probably looking to the previous month, which is what I had assumed.
Like, regular school district, one month they meet on the 10th, so.
There's no way they have everything by then.
So they're looking at the past month, there's no other, yeah.
Look at your schedule, figure out what works for you guys. Don't worry about it.
All right, cool.
Cool.
Continue.
Okay.
Which day it went.
Okay.
All right. Well, then I'll finish showing it, and you guys will have time to look at it and.
Yeah, we'll discuss next time, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay, so for proposed revenue for FY27, I have showed here what we have received in '25 and '26. For state, local, and our federal funding, we are looking at for FY27 to receive an increase of about 1.2 million more than we did in FY26. With the, right now, this budget is based on 2,500 students enrollment. Hopefully, we can get a lot higher than that, so hopefully our numbers will be more, an even greater increase. But we're gonna go with a very conservative number and say 2,500. So for state, we're looking at about just under $26 million. For local, it'll be pretty similar to what we had last year. For about $31 million. So one thing to say about our receivables for the local, so we did have more of an increase from '25 to '26. In '25, so the local funding, a lot of that is based on spending by the districts, and it's based on their local spending. And back in '24, they were using up the residual of COVID funding. So it did hit the local spending line. So we're looking at 31.7, 30, 32, somewhere in there as being like kind of our target for where we're gonna land for our local funding. Our federal funding is, again, gonna be pretty similar, about 1.3, for a total of about close to 58.
I can ask you something.
Yes.
There is a progressive increase for all the numbers. I see total 55, 56 on 25, 57, let's say on '26, and 58. This is due to what?
Enrollment.
Increased enrollment.
Increase, okay. Okay, so it's the number of students.
Yes.
They add, okay.
Yeah, so based on our enrollment, that impacts our state funding for like our division units for employees, and then also our local for what we've seen from other school districts.
And the number of students also impact the number of new hires, new teachers, too?
But also funding for those teachers.
Right, right. So how many teachers were allocated to us from the state for the increase in enrollment, for example, for this year?
It's every 16, it's one. So depending on where we land now, that would be the allocation, so.
How many teachers is that? I can't do the math.
So if you're doing, so if you, if we landed 2,554 versus 2,500, then you have more allocations, about three more allocations if we do that. But you've got about seven allocations or so for the extra 100 students. Six. They round up, so six or seven allocations, and you'll be at like nine allocations if the rest of the students come.
Got it.
So I'm breaking down a little bit further now for our revenue. So this is the breakdown of state revenue. State transportation is what we receive for the state for reimbursements for trainings that they do. They have four-hour, 12-hour training and behind-the-wheel training. Transportation is the funding that we receive for all students that are transportation eligible. We have minor capital improvements that was in the House Bill 500. And we've already been made aware of what that's gonna be. We have the Education Sustainment Fund, which will be very similar to what we received last year. The Tech Block Grant, again, pretty close to what we got last year. Other state revenue that we receive is 1.1. And operations were about $20 million. So again, we have that little bit of an increase in enrollment, so we're seeing just a touch bit of increase there. For local, for interest, we hoping that we can have a little bit more money in there so we can receive $286,000 for our interest. The CSCRP, we're looking at about $25,000. Cafeteria funding, 1.7. Our charter, 12.8. And our local transfers from other districts at 16.4 for a total of 31.2. And for federal, again, these numbers aren't changing a whole lot. This is, we're told what we're receiving. We did already get our pre-allocation, and they do typically change throughout the year. So we're looking at $496,000 for IDEA Part B, $558,000 for Title I, $144,000 for Title II, just under $99,000 for Title III, and $54,000 for Perkins, for a total of $1.3. So I did share with you where all of these numbers that we're receiving, because we do use different appropriations for all of our funding. So we have a school, athletics, food, facilities, cleaning. So all of the money is dropped into the bucket and it rolls up to a total, which is the total you'll see on the previous screen. For our expenses, this is the zoomed out version. We're looking at an increase in salaries by a little bit and OECs. Travel, based on what we were last year, we did try to bump that down a little bit. For contracted services, again, we're trying to be very conservative with what our planning to spend is for 27. So we did bump that down just a little bit to 9.3. Materials, again, we're right around in that same range. And for capital, we are planning to not do a lot of capital improvements. We want to try to take a break.
Yeah, because that when I home, it just gloss over. I see the travel. 25 was 44,000. 26 is 97. And then it's 37 down.
Yeah.
It's almost 60% down, something like this.
Yeah. A lot of that is we added the students for the Greece trip that was not included for the foreign exchange students. And that took a hit because it was all the flights that we had to purchase. The students did pay for their trips as well. So while it took a hit on that line, we did have a revenue line as well for that. So it offset. And then finally, I showed what I am wanting our web report to look like as we move forward. So based off of all the categories that we had before, I am narrowing it down so that we are having all of our contracted services together and grouped. And within that, we'll have professional services, and that includes all services that we receive from other people. That includes like all consultants, legal fees, medical services, instructional services, athletic services, any service that we get, and facilities and ops. That'll be any landscaping, construction, buildings and ground, custodial maintenance, sanitary, anything that has to do with facilities. For technology and communication will be all of our software, IT hardware, communication devices, telecommunications, printing, postage. Transportation will be our vehicle material repair, fleet rental, and equipment rentals. Occupancy costs will be our lease payments, lands, and insurance. Student support services will be family support, student body activities. We'll also have an employee support, which will be the tuition reimbursements, any training, association dues, permits, or licensing that they need. Debt services will be all of our principal payments, loans, anything like that. And other administrative expenses would include advertising or any miscellaneous expenses that we receive. Under materials, This is items and supplies used throughout the school to support instruction, operations, and student services. So under instructional and student resources, that will include all instructional supplies, books, athletic supplies, and school operating supplies. For technology, we'll have computers, computer supplies and software, and materials are typically over 10,000. So anything under that would fall under contracted services. For facilities and maintenance, it'll just be all of our institutional supplies, our operating supplies, building materials, equipment, landscaping, anything like that. Transportation materials for all of our fuel and vehicle materials that's needed. Food and student services will include all of food, cafeteria supplies, and medical supplies. Administrative and general supplies will include office supplies, employee recognition, promotional supplies, security supplies, anything like that. Under capital, capitals are our big thing. So it'll be facilities and infrastructure, which includes land improvements, building improvements, refrigeration, air conditioning, heating, technology, which is technology equipment, IT hardware. Instructional and student program support is instructional equipment, educational equipment, and athletic equipment. Operations and administrative equipment is general administrative equipment and institutional. And then finally, under food services, it will be any cafeteria that we have.
So under the capital there, is that left over from last year? Why is the remaining balance 3.8 versus 5.62? Say 5 under
where are you?
Facilities, infrastructure capital.
That's what we are budgeting for. That's our proposed budget number for this year. And then as we go through the year, you'll see the column for encumbrances, if we have any purchase orders outstanding, and then you'll see the expenditures in the following, and then you'll see what the remaining balance is for each of those budget items.
No, I'm totally tracking on that, but why is it 3.8 million on that?
On the remaining balance side.
Versus
carryover.
That's what I'm asking. That's what I said. Is that from last year?
Yeah, sorry.
It's all good. No, I'm just making sure. That's fabulous. I love that we have 3.8 million carryover. I'm just asking the question.
It's carryover plus this year's budget surplus.
That's great.
So Debbie.
That's what I assumed. I just wanted to make sure I'm not.
I think she created the budget.
Inventing money.
Was it a $1.2 million surplus this year?
Yes. Well, actually 3.7.
No, that's with the carryover.
With the carryover, so yes, 1.
So I think it's something like 1.2 for this year, and the 26 budget landed at 750,000 surplus, I believe. Mm-hmm. This was the number that I reviewed earlier today. So we did meet our budget once again, and like I've said every single time, I have never had a budget that runs a deficit since I've been here. We always meet our budget obligations.
It's great.
So.
Thank you.
That's why we are 3 times in a row investment grade rated by S&P. We're very, we scrutinize this tremendously. We did a lot. We did about a 4.5 hour, 5 hour dive today to try to get you guys as accurate numbers as possible today. It's still, you're still kind of shooting in the dark. You know, there's a lot of things that are moving parts, but this is a pretty good estimate. It's been vetted carefully. We went back all the way to 2021 and 2022, took averages, longevity, looked at the difference in the enrollment, projected it based on that to see how we're tracking. And so we created a budget this year that's pretty fiscally conservative.
Fantastic.
And if we hit our budget target, it should exceed even what's being presented to you over here by another 700,000 or so if we do hit 2554.
I think it's important that Deborah, if you could send to our new members the budget that we voted on last year. I remember Jeff had sent us memo with the actual of 2025. It was around this time of the year, the closing of 2025, that he presented to us as actuals. And also he sent us the proposed budget for 2026 that we voted on. If you could send the voted on budget of 2026 with all the breakdowns to our new members.
Sure.
That would be.
That'd be great.
Yeah, thanks.
They need to see, you know, what was approved based on what, the 2025 actuals as presented to us. And then we are in a position to review this. We haven't had a chance to review it.
Sure.
So I don't believe we can vote on it today, you know.
Okay.
Tricia's hand is raised.
It is. Can I make a request on the summary pages, which actually this is terrific, even for a quick review. So thank you for all your hard work. And I do like the detail. On the summary page, just to put a request in, could I get total enrollment for each year? So I get a cost per student across those numbers.
Sure.
The revenue page is great. I can extrapolate to expense.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great.
Okay.
Oops.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have a, moving right along, do we have a PTO report? No. Okay. Any new business? Okay.
Sorry.
I move to approve the field trip though, so your administrators aren't freaking out about that.
To approve the?
The Sagatawa, whatever they're going, the high school or field trip.
Yeah, okay. Because she said that it was going to be paid for by the.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm confident we're not going to have an issue with that. We'll review everything else, but I do move that to be approved. So we have.
I second. Oh.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 I have a follow-up though.
Opposed? Okay, passed.
Do we need to approve a web report? Because the format was different. We need to approve it for this past month, right? So before we move on from the final.
Oh, to say that it's okay to post it like that, you're saying?
Yeah, we need to approve and motion the web report.
So I'm happy to move to approve the new format of the web report.
Any seconds?
I second.
Any discussion?
Any discussion?
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? So the motion is passed for this beautiful new web report.
Do we need a separate motion for the proposed budget or no?
I think we can do that next month.
Next meeting, after we look at it?
Yeah.
What was your question?
The proposed budget, is that, we're saving that for the next meeting?
Yes, because we haven't had a chance to review.
No, that's totally fine. Just don't.
Could I request?
I thought it was dead.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I request, when you were going over the line items on the last, you were saying transportation, I saw this page, so you're saying you potentially included this in that category, like you had your categories. Can we get a copy of that so we know?
Actually is in the, did you get the email from me or?
There's a second attachment.
Yeah.
It's in the.
I don't know the distribution was updated, but it's in the narrative that I sent.
Uh-huh.
On page 3, it says expenses web report and it breaks down exactly all the things. I have summarized them.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
Every item that is under each category.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And you will make sure that the new board members get a copy of everything they need from last year then?
Yes.
Great. Okay. Anything for the good of the school?
I have a random question. I'm sure it's already boxed, but I just was curious. What is our, I'm assuming we have a marketing or social media or some kind of, I don't know if it's a team or a person or someone that's dedicated to that. Out of curiosity, you know, can we get some information or get a report on that? I'm thinking about this only for the good of the school, particularly as, you know, others have highlighted on the board, we love to hear that we're doing so well, that we're getting these MOUs, that we are beating our averages for enrollment and testing scores and things like that. And I would love to see it on stuff like Instagram and LinkedIn and all over. I would love for the school to push for, if I, maybe we're already doing it and it's not getting to my feed, but I'm gonna make that something of interest to the board. I think in this modern age, particularly of future young families who are putting their kids, God willing, in this school, they are gonna see that stuff. And it does make a big difference across every industry I've found in working on other boards and on other projects. So I think it would be an initiative I'd be highly interested in. I don't know if we need to make a committee or whatever, but I just, for the good order, would like information on where we're at with that and how we can improve our social media presence to highlight the fantastic work you guys are doing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The finance committee met last week, got a little bit of preliminary budget and the reports and everything else, but I'd like to keep that in. I have some BLC team and they're putting together and sharpening pencils and tightening up the budget and continuing to be conservative, because although we've laid out how state money and all that money comes in, you don't know it's here until you get the check. So you guys did a really good job of putting that all together. So thank you.
Thank you. It was a lot. Deb did a lot of work and we did a lot of forensic analysis of that budget, which has become a new hobby of mine, forensic analysis of budgets, to find efficiencies as we could. And we feel pretty confident in this budget too.
It's just, yeah, really good job, because none of us really have any idea how much work gets into that. And Deb had to get out early before the alarms walked and they were flying.
Yeah.
So that's 11 o'clock, in case you're wondering. We hope we're never gonna ask. So nice job.
Yeah, I'm so sorry I skipped over the finance committee. That's true. And I want to encourage new board members to volunteer also to be on the finance committee.
When does it meet?
If the board meeting changes the...
I see. We will adjust accordingly.
We'll adjust accordingly, usually a week in advance.
And that is... virtual as well, possibly, or does it have to be in person?
It's always been in person. I don't know, let's figure it out.
Okay. I'll get back to you.
Okay.
So that would be the second Wednesday.
Or the third.
Or the third.
Or the first if we move it to the second week. I would like to be involved, just saying that I don't know if I can commit to be driving down every week. That's a bit of a...
Yeah. We'll figure it out. And the CBOC meeting will start back up in September.
Oh.
It's just more of a second thing.
Oh.
It's the other hand of the finance world.
Mm-hmm. We're always looking for people for that.
Yes.
That's okay. We do a deep dive and find out and audit that kind of stuff.
Okay. Cool. And so, I don't know, we kind of jumped topics instantly, but can I get some information from whoever it is that is coordinating social media? Or we'll have a presentation next meeting? Can we do that?
I don't think we'll do a presentation on it. I have to do the presentation on the academics. That's probably going to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
But we can send...
Or we can make a report, brief email report of where we're at with that. That'd be great. Thanks.
We have Instagram, we have Facebook, we have LinkedIn. Publish on all those, and we also work with Delaware Magazine. What is it, Delaware Today? We're with them.
Great.
So it's a pretty extensive footprint that we have.
I think it would be good to see the measurements behind that too, the clicks, the progression of, you know.
Yeah, I just want to know where we're at.
Membership every month.
Something we can work on, but I'm just curious.
What we look at. I think that's a very good point. Media, numbers of media placements that we've had, or media reviews that we've had, articles, you know, they all have numbers. I'm very quantitative. I think I have a fellow quantitative.
You and I both, yeah.
At least one. So I think it's important that we understand that side of things too, that has to do with enrollment.
Our relationships with the news journal have improved now, because sometime in the past was really, really not so good. The newspaper.
The news journal?
No, the newspaper, the local newspaper.
Yeah, I would say that our percentage of.
Improved. If they improved, that's great.
Probably 90 to 1.
That is very good. Because.
We don't really get.
In the past.
Anymore.
Very beautiful things. Okay.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, good.
So I have a couple more things for the good of the school, since we're doing good of the school. We have the grand opening celebration on September the 9th. I'm going to ask that we, number one, try to get as many of us to attend that event as possible. It's a very, very big deal to be the only Greek immersion school in North America. And so it's going to be a very, very highly and well-attended event with a lot of dignitaries there as well. And so I would hope that we can get a lot of us out there to attend that. October, there's going to be a 5K run that AHEPA is
17th.
Doing with us.
17th.
17th of October.
Yeah.
We'd like to see board participation in that, and hopefully you can, you know, be either running or handing out waters or walking or doing whatever. I also, this year is the 20th anniversary of Odyssey Charter School.
Yes.
And we'd like to have a large gala in the spring, not like the gala that we usually do, a very, very large 350 person to 400 person massive fundraiser. And I'd like to have a committee started with that, and I need board support on that, because I would really want this to be a fantastic fundraiser.
I move to set up a committee and offer to serve on the board for that 20th anniversary of the founding of Odyssey Charter School. Thanks.
I think it's going to be an incredible event, and we're really excited to make it really pop, and try to think about where we should have it, that kind of stuff.
Are you trying to cram it in, though, this fall while it's still 2026? Or when did you say you would be?
Spring of 2027. I cannot cram anything in 20. There's just no way. But it'll be spring of 2027.
So usually the spring.
But if we can find, if anybody has a connection, even maybe to somebody who has a manor or a large estate, I mean, those are always really cool kind of events to do in something like that. I have a couple people, but they're in Bryn Mawr. So I was like, I don't know if I want to go out that far. I don't know. Somebody knows a DuPont around here. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. You never know. You can't, you won't know if you don't ask, right? So I'm going to ask.
I'll think on that one for you.
And then the last thing for me is that I'd like to plan our first ever board admin retreat for August. This will be a working workshop, a full day workshop, where the board and the administration can talk through all things Odyssey. We did something similar to this a couple years ago. If you remember, Ken, we kind of did it in Building 20. We spent a few hours talking through a few things. But this is going to be more all things Odyssey. It will provide you with a lot of insight as to how the school operates, how decisions are made, how do we evaluate people, how do things like that happen, how can the board support at those levels to make sure that the folks are feeling supported at that level. I think it would be really good for us to have that kind of retreat. We've never had one before.
You said August?
Is
August,
it? Yeah.
Yeah.
This August?
Well.
Or next one?
I would want you to know everything before the school year starts, so.
I don't know. Yeah.
I can't do it today.
I'm saying that August,
yeah,
because
not in the beginning at least, okay? Because some of us will be away.
But
we can't account for every individual person's schedule.
Right.
But unfortunately, I am going to be away in August as well. So.
We can try to push to September, but I think we really need to get one in place and so that everybody kind of has the same ongoing knowledge about what's, where the school is, where we're going. We also need to start talking about the next strategic plan for the school.
Yeah.
Because it's 2027, so this one is done. So we need a new strategic plan.
Yeah, Marty.
Do you typically do a 5-year or what is your typical?
The last one was 22 to 27.
Yep.
And we've.
Good idea.
We've completed about 98% of the KPIs.
That's great.
The only one is the SBAC scores. That's the only thing that has not moved to where it needs to go.
Is it possible this retreat can be planned on a weekend out of curiosity?
It is possible, but I have to get together with the whole team. Just like you said, like I have a lot of admin out starting to, you know, as soon as I got back, they left.
No, no, I'm not saying right this moment. I'm just saying if you could put on your radar as a possibility for a weekend retreat instead of.
Yeah, I would be for a weekend day as well.
Just, okay. Especially since this last minute, I don't have to take off of work today that I didn't plan on taking would be nice to.
Well, it's not going to be last minute. I'll propose.
I was saying August for me is last minute already. So I'm already booked fully.
I'll propose a lot. I'll propose a few different dates and then we'll see what we can do.
Thanks.
But I'm pretty excited about that. I think that'll help. Right?
What on my wedding day?
I happen to know that date, so I'll plan around that one.
Congratulations.
Okay, so we'll get that going as well and get that taken.
Good idea.
Do we need to make a motion for that or?
I don't think so. I'll send out a doodle or something like that to get, put 3 or 4 dates down. And then you can decide which one works for the most people. And maybe we can move around some schedules and then put it on the calendar.
Yes.
And I'll try to pick a nice destination too. I'll make it nice. So it's like a actual retreat.
On our city.
Not out of state.
No, you want us there.
Not out of state. We'll be in state. We'll be in state. So we don't have to vote on our out of state travel.
Now, I was going to break into executive session for this, but I shared a parental letter with the board members and we are waiting to get the legal opinion. We don't have a full legal opinion yet, so I will inform board members at the next board meeting of what that is, or sooner by email, okay?
Sounds good.
I just wanted everybody to know rather than break into an executive session.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
A second.
This meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks all.